And then there are the teachers. It can be extremely valuable and instructive to check out different mindfulness teachers and listen carefully to their dharma. With the best of them, the most authentic, you can benefit not just from what they say, but from observing how they carry themselves, from how they are, at least to the degree that they allow themselves to be seen as they actually are. By watching different teachers, you will come to see that you cannot possibly be true to yourself and your own path by merely imitating or revering them, although some of that may happen in the early stages and is not in itself a bad thing. But ultimately, if they are good teachers, they will not encourage a dependency on them, but urge you to find your own way, come to your own understanding through ongoing practice, letting life be the teacher, even as you continue to work with them or with other teachers. And ultimately, you will find that if life is the real teacher, then everybody in your life becomes your teacher. And so finally, it comes full circle to your own personal interest in awareness and liberation, to your motivation, your aspiration, your willingness to use whatever arises as opportunities for deepening your commitment to being fully awake, and so fully alive, no matter what is happening, and not merely for yourself anymore, although that is a perfectly valid place to begin, but to be a node in the larger net of life expressing itself through wise and compassionate action. Part 5. Healing Possibilities, the Realm of Mind and Body. Orthogonal Reality, Rotating in Consciousness. As a rule, we humans have been admirable explorers and inhabitants of conventional reality, the world out there, defined and modulated by our 5 classical senses. We have made ourselves at home within that world and have learned to shape it to our needs and desires over the brief course of human history. We understand cause and effect in the physical world to an ever-increasing degree due to the efforts of science, and that understanding is continuing to deepen with ongoing discoveries. And yet, even within science, it is not so clear that we comprehend underlying reality, which seems disturbingly statistical, unpredictable, and mysterious, as whether the universe is finite or not, or whether time even exists, or what happens in the heart of a black hole, or why the vacuum has so much energy, or the question of whether space is nothing or something. Nevertheless, in the conventional everyday reality of lived experience, we have a body, we are born, we live out our lives, and we die. For the most part, we dwell mostly accepting the appearance of things and create quasi-comfortable explanations for ourselves about how things are and why they are that way. And our senses can lull us to sleep if we are coasting on habit, not really in touch from moment to moment, so caught up are we in thinking and doing, and thus somewhat removed from the domain of being, from sentience, even though it is closer than close at all moments. I say to Myla as a young person passes us in the street, "He has such a nice face," to which she responds, "Yes, if you don't see the lack of affect in it." It's all a matter of what we are willing to see or reflexively ignore, how reflexively we are willing to birth our momentary perceptions at the dock of the habitually inattentive, secured by stout lines of really not looking but pretending to yourself that you are rope. In the world of this conventional reality, we do the best we can. We earn a living, we put food on the table, we love our children and care for our parents, do our work and whatever else we need to do to maintain our forward momentum through life, and perhaps learn to dance, as Zorba did, even in the face of the poignant existential realities of the human condition. Stress, pain, illness, old age, and death, Zorba's full catastrophe. All the while we are immersed in a stream of thoughts whose origins and content are frequently unclear to us, and which can be obsessive, repetitive, inaccurate, disturbingly unrelenting, and toxic, all of which both color the present moment and screen it from us. Moreover, we are frequently hijacked by emotions we cannot control and that can cause great harm to ourselves and to others, or are the result of earlier harm or perceived harm. These also prevent us from seeing with any clarity, even though our eyes are open. Unpleasant moments are bewildering and disconcerting, so they are apt to be written off as aberrations or impediments to the ever-hoped-for happiness we are seeking and the story we build around it. Such moments get papered over by persistent inattention and are soon forgotten. Alternatively, we might build an equally tenacious, unpleasant story around our failures, our inadequacies, and our misdeeds to explain why we cannot transcend our limitations and our karma, and then, in thinking that it is all true, forget that it is just one more story we are telling ourselves and cling desperately to it, as if our very identity, our very survival, and all we hope were unquestionably bound to it.